Welcome to Dividing Light, a show designed to show the believer and the non-believer alike that everything we say or do is ultimately judged by God's Word. Hosting Dividing Line, Bill and Ruth.
Hello, this is Ruth Darr with Dividing Line. Today I'm going to interview Jo Scott from Denver, Colorado. She has been a pro-life leader and activist on the front lines for approximately 30 years, or more, I believe. This is a quote by Cal Zastro, a leader in the personhood movement. He said, "This generation is always looking for something exciting to do and to take a risk. Why do people feel the need to go to theaters, to have drama or heroics in their life? Standing up for Jesus, where preborn children get their heads cut off, will provide more than enough real action. That real action is what we will be talking about today." We've interviewed Jo Scott a couple of times on Dividing Line, but the story continues, and there is never a dull moment when Jo Scott is involved. Jo told me that her nickname in the past was Mule, that she was stubborn. But it's not the connotation I believe that fits her. I would say tenacious is how I would describe her. And the dictionary says tenacious is not easily pulled apart, cohesive, tough, persistent in maintaining or adhering to something valued, like her rights. And you can go and look up courage and strong. And this is how I would define Jo Scott. Jo, welcome to Dividing Line.
Thanks for having me, Ruth.
You bet. Jo, tell us about how you got involved in literally laying down your life for the little ones.
Well, it was years ago. I was in my 20s, and I realized that abortion was actually happening in our country, and I couldn't believe it. I was a midwife in California, and I had access to some pictures of abortion, and I thought that if I took those pictures and went to the abortion mills and talked to the people performing them and participating in them, that they would understand how horrific the act of abortion is and stop. And yes. So I figured I'd go and I'd be ending abortion in 2 weeks.
That's
well,
right.
That didn't happen.
No.
So you said I was nicknamed Mule, and there's a reason for that. Mm-hmm. I'm stubborn, so I've been outside of abortion mills ever since, trying to at least save the lives of some children.
Yes. Well, I know that you've done a lot over the years, and it's been more than 30 years. How long has it been?
32.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, as I was thinking about this interview, I recalled being in Las Vegas in 2009. We were at an abortion clinic when an officer told you to leave. You were very close to the entrance of the clinic. And you looked at him, and I didn't hear, you'll tell me what was said, but I heard him say, "I know you, Jo Scott." What were you saying to him?
He was asking me a lot of questions about why I was there. It was a little evasive. I told him I was waiting for mom. I meant the moms of a baby.
Uh-huh.
And as I was explaining to him, he said, "I don't believe you, Jo Scott. I know you." And I started laughing. And I said, "That's right. I'm here to save babies. I'm lying." He started laughing. And I recognized him as a federal agent. He had a earplug in his ear. He had on a bulletproof vest underneath a red shirt. Now, mm-hmm. We were with Operation Save America that time in Las Vegas, and we all wear red shirts. I did not have one on because I was going to stand at the door and talk to women until they threw me out and try and save lives.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "You're going to have to leave. They will arrest you." And I said, "Look, all I'm asking you for is time. Please give me enough time to save a life." And he said, "You got it." And he walked away.
Wow.
And that was amazing. I couldn't believe it. That's the first time ever that something like that had happened.
Uh-huh.
And he left me there. Fortunately, the mill closed that day because of the protest by Operation Save America. So no babies were killed that day. So
that's
that was
wonderful.
A successful day.
But he knew you because you're on the FBI hit list, aren't you? Or not hit list, but FBI list.
Yes, I am. I'm well known. In fact, I've been in other places with Operation Save America. One time in Florida, when we were protesting, one of the Operation Save America people came up to me and said, "Joe, are you on? Are you wanted anywhere? Are you? Are they after you?" And I said, "No." And she said, "Well, they're showing your picture around down there." And I said, "Yeah, they know me."
Well,
that's the way it goes.
You know, it made me think of the scripture in Acts 19:15, where the evil spirit says, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Well, the enemy, Satan, knows Joe's name. I got to thinking, does he know my name? Am I a threat to his kingdom? Well, that should be the goal of each one of us. We should be on the front lines exposing evil. Christians are ignoring the biggest crime of this generation, and that's the murder of our babies.
Right.
Joe, you have had many charges filed against you for trying to save lives. What are some of the charges in the past?
Oh, all kinds of charges. Trespass. One time I was charged with saying murder.
Oh.
And I had an injunction against me for a year. I couldn't say the word murder outside of an abortion mill.
Wow.
So I came up with a lot of other words, and after that year they dropped it. They decided murder was better than extermination and some of the other words I came up with. Hitchhiking. I got arrested for hitchhiking not too long ago. It's funny because they took pictures of me giving directions to a woman. She wasn't going into the mill. And the next day the police showed up to give me a ticket for hitchhiking, and in the pictures is my car.
Oh, my.
You know, it just doesn't make any sense. But when it went to trial, of course, I pled not guilty to a minor traffic infraction. Mm-hmm. And when the policeman got on the stand, he lied, and the case was dismissed.
Wow. Can I ask you, how many times have you been arrested or received a ticket? Do you know?
No, I don't. Many. Dozens.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Dozens. Well, I know they can't intimidate you. I know they even had a bubble zone at the Planned Parenthood in Denver. Wasn't it 100 feet from the door of the clinic and 8 feet from someone walking into the facility?
Right. And I was arrested for breaking the bubble law in, I think it was 2007, because the security guard at Planned Parenthood devised a plan. He would send employees in and try to get them to trap me into breaking the bubble law. Mm. And normally I would recognize the employees just because you're used to picking out who's going in for an abortion, who isn't. It's part of what I've done for 30 years. So this day I was talking to a woman. I was a little leery of her, so I was staying back. And it turns out I got within 7 feet, 6 inches of her. So I was convicted that time. It's almost impossible to keep the distance, especially when they're trying to trap you, because they're going to lie on the stand, which she did. She admitted on the stand that she lied to get me arrested.
Uh-huh.
And all they have to do is take a couple of seconds and slow down, and you're busy trying to save a child and talk to them,
mm-hmm.
and you might not notice that, and that's what happened.
Right. I think one of the funniest things recently is what I think you called the Frosty ticket.
The Frosty Felon Caper.
Frosty Felon Caper. Can you tell us that? Now, you have to remember, folks, this is in Denver, and it gets very cold there. And describe the setting, because they have the wrought iron fence, and then describe what they have over the fence and all.
Well, Planned Parenthood was in Denver the biggest abortion facility in the country, I think, until they built the one in Houston. It's huge, and it's only 3 years old now. So what they did was they built this huge abortion facility, and they surrounded it with a wrought iron fence, and then they covered the fence with a tarp. It's a black tarp, and it completely shields us from seeing inside the parking lot. So we have ladders, and we get up on the ladders. But this day, when we got there, and now the fence is more than 100 feet from the door. Mm-hmm. The sidewalk is more than 100 feet from the door. So it's impossible, or at least I thought it was impossible, to break the bubble law there.
Mm-hmm.
And but this day, it was freezing cold outside, and the fence had frosted over. The tarp did. It's like a vinyl tarp. it frosted over and it's black. Mm-hmm. And I thought, whoa, this is neat. So I wrote Stop Killing Kids in the on the Fence in the frost. And a couple of the other pro-lifers also wrote things like, Mommy, I want to live, don't hurt me, Mommy, that kind of thing, mm-hmm. on the tarp around Planned Parenthood. Well, there's a, across the street from Planned Parenthood is an old fire station that Planned Parenthood has access to, and they have two 360-degree cameras mounted on the top of that fire station. And so from inside Planned Parenthood, they can see what we're doing on the outside of
wow.
the fence.
Wow.
Well, the security guard saw that the fence had been written on and assumed that we had destroyed the tarp and called the police. And 10 squad cars show up. Wow. And we're watching them come in. We thought, oh, my goodness, maybe they killed somebody in there.
Uh-huh.
Because there were so many cop cars coming. And the sergeant jumped out of the car. I don't remember his name. He's not the one that's normally there. And he said, who rode on the fence? I said, I did. And he said, come with me, get your ID. And he's going to cite me for destruction of private property. And I said, you can't. That's frost. Mm-hmm. Now, when the police arrived, the son was on the back of Planned Parenthood. It hadn't come over the building. As we get there on Saturday mornings, it's like 7:30 in the morning before the sun is all the way up. Well, while I'm talking to this sergeant, the sun comes over the top of the building and hits the fence, and it's melting away.
Uh-huh.
And I'm asking him, I'm saying, please turn around, look at the fence. It's melting. It's frost. Nobody destroyed that tarp. It's frost. It's ice. And I kept begging him to turn around. He would not. He said, I saw that when I drove in. I don't need to look now. And I said, no, really, you need to look now. Now, one of the other pro-lifers is filming the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
And one cop after another is going over to the fence and looking and coming back, but nobody's discussing it. And I'm telling the rest of the pro-lifers, right on the fence, right uh-huh. on the fence. So they're riding in the frost. So they're going to have to arrest all of us for writing in frost. But mm-hmm. as soon as the camera turned away, I said to the sergeant, really, sergeant, you're going to look foolish. Don't do this. This is ice.
Uh-huh.
And he would not listen. He would not listen. So he went into the building of Planned Parenthood. He saw the video. He didn't look at the whole video. He only saw one other woman riding on the fence. In the part of the video that he wrote, he came out and he gave her a citation. And he's telling the officer that's writing up the ticket for her to write that she scratched the fence and she did this and that. And it was just insane. And we kept talking to them. My husband, in the meantime, is saying, I want to go to jail with my wife. And he's writing on the fence because we think, you know, this is going to make a great lawsuit.
Right.
And the woman, Debbie Evans is her name. She was given the citation, and all it took about an hour. And by then, by the time they left, everything on the fence had melted, and all the squad cars left. So we stopped filming, and then one policeman, the one that actually cited Debbie, came back and said, Debbie, let me see that ticket. And he tore it up, and he said, there's no ticket today. And he drove away. We didn't get that part on tape, but we put it up on YouTube for everyone to see.
Wow.
And then emailed it to the police department.
Wow.
And the policeman that was out the next day said, or the next day that Planned Parenthood was open, which is a Tuesday, he said, well, we used your film in roll call this morning. He said, I think we could learn a few things. I said, yeah, like listen and look.
That's
you know?
Right.
So it was just nutty. It was just not, couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah.
And and they're going to cite us, you know. But that's the kind of thing that we put up with all the time. If Planned Parenthood makes a call,
mm-hmm.
the troops come out from the woodwork to deal with it.
Well, your latest charge filed against you, you said that that's exactly what needed to happen. Tell me what happened on that. I think it was early in this month, April.
April 4th, I went to trial for beating a woman in the street, kicking her, hitting her, slapping her, cussing at her, blocking her entrance to the driveway of the Planned Parenthood facility. And I was not made aware of these charges until 42 days after the incident supposedly happened.
Wow.
I was outside of Planned Parenthood on April 2nd. last year when a woman walked in. And what I did, and we have a video of it, because that video camera on the fire station across from Planned Parenthood videotapes everything, and I got it in discovery when I began to fight the case. I didn't have a lawyer in the beginning, so I filed for discovery. So I saw the tape, and the tape is of me. It's 26 degrees that day. I'm freezing. I have my hands in my pockets because I don't wear gloves. You can't deal with literature with big, thick gloves on.
Right.
You just can't separate it. So I don't wear them. So my hands are in my pockets, and I'm talking to her as I'm walking beside her. And you can see there's an eyewitness also to the crime. It's the just happens to be the vice president of Planned Parenthood Public Affairs. She drives by. She tells the police she saw me grab the woman, and the woman had to pull away from me. And all this, she actually acted that out on the witness stand. Well, when you see the film, you see that I'm several feet away from the woman, and my hands are in my pockets when the car drives by. So you can see that I have not touched her at all. So that was proof that I didn't do that. But the film has no sound. And so they're saying I called her a whore and some other horrible things, and that I used foul language, which I have never done ever in my life. I was brought up better than that. And so I couldn't prove with the film that I didn't say that. So her statement to the police was that I repeatedly assaulted, attacked, and verbally attacked her as she walked down the street. That was what she told the police. And she said that she parked a block and a half away because she was afraid to drive by us, which makes no sense. Why would you get out of the car and walk in? Well, close to the time that I went to trial this year, April 4th, they brought her in, and she made another statement and said that she parked a block and a half away because she didn't know there was a parking lot. Well, when the day of the trial came, she testified that she didn't know there was a parking lot, but that she had been there three times before.
Oh, my goodness.
Crazy. I mean, you have to leave your brain at the door.
To
not figure out that she's lying. The policeman got on the stand. Now, the jury had seen the video. The policeman got on the stand that took the complaint. He said he walked into Planned Parenthood. He saw the video. He saw me attack the woman, and that's why he wrote the ticket. He lied. It was obvious to everyone in the courtroom that he had lied. And then the vice president of Planned Parenthood was giddy to testify, and you know, just very animatedly reenacted the scene that she saw as she drove by. But when you watch the video, it didn't happen. So it was obvious that she was lying. So then I did not testify because they can bring up things in my past on the stand. And in Denver, abortion is such a touchy issue that if it looks like I've ever been convicted of anything, my lawyers thought that they'll say, well, if she could do those things, then she could do this. So I didn't testify, but I had five witnesses, and four of them testified, and they all said they saw what happened, and if I had touched the woman inappropriately or said anything derogatory to her like that, they would have taken me to the board of our church. I would have been disciplined by my church. But unfortunately, the jury chose to not convict me of the attack, but of the harassment part of it, where they said I cussed at her. And interestingly, when the woman who accused me, her name was Laura Brown, and I began praying for her the day I knew her name. And I began asking everyone I knew online and all over the country, please pray for Laura Brown, please. I don't understand why she's doing this to me. She maybe works for Planned Parenthood or has a friend in Planned Parenthood. I don't know, but pray that she tells the truth on the stand. Well, when she came into the courtroom and they asked her what my demeanor was, she said I was calm and worried for her. And did I call her any names? She said no. Did I? She said what I said to her was, don't participate in murder by going in there. I'll... No, I know I said I'll get you help someplace else, but I'm sure that I know that she didn't say that on the stand. Mm-hmm. And what was the one other thing I said to her? Don't participate. They're killing children in there, something like that. Mm-hmm. And so everything that she said on the stand contradicted what she had written in the police report. But then on the stand, she said she was sure that I touched her.
Oh.
And she also said that she was having a miscarriage. That's why she was going to Planned Parenthood, which makes no sense to me.
Uh-huh.
Well, if you had been in the courtroom and listened to all this, you would have been sure the verdict would be not guilty.
Mm-hmm.
But it was guilty.
So basically,
it was guilty.
Guilty
but
of
not
talking.
Of hitting her, of harassing, cussing, and
okay.
blocking her entrance.
Wow.
And so the whole trial was like being in the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, yeah.
Even when we were choosing the jury, there were 20 people to choose from. 5 of the 20 people said, even if the evidence showed that I was innocent, they would still find me guilty. So they were thrown out.
Mm-hmm.
The judge in my case has contributed to Warren Hearn, the late-term abortionist here, Boulder Valley Abortion Mill in Boulder. She worked against Amendment 62 as I was working for Amendment 62, which is the personhood amendment in Colorado. And she would not recuse herself.
Yeah.
And not only that, she gave me a restraining order that restrains me from going to within 100 feet of any health care facility.
Oh, my goodness.
Store. So I can't even go to my own doctor without breaking the restraining order.
Wow.
And there was no talking her out of it. So yeah. I was found guilty, and my sentencing is June 2nd. But my lawyer has, to date, filed a motion to dismiss and a motion for a new trial, and it's both to that same judge that I had
uh-huh.
during the trial. So she'll probably say no to both.
Probably.
And then on June 2nd, he'll file a notice to appeal, and that will go to a different, when it's appealed, it will go to a different judge. And normally, when you've been convicted of something but you're going to appeal, the sentence is stayed until pending on the outcome of the mm-hmm. the appeal. But mm-hmm. who knows what will happen in this case.
Well, we all need to be praying for you. So
yeah.
We just need to keep you in our prayers. I think we just have a minute. Real quick, I want to tell you what happened here in Tulsa at our abortion clinic where Planned Parenthood doesn't do them. They refer them to reproductive services. But mm-hmm. the administrator, our director, Linda Meeks, called the bomb squad in. They heard a ticking in their trash. And they came out and evacuated the buildings around and found an egg timer that was in a box in the trash. And they found out that she's the one that set it up there. And
she put it there.
She put it there. And it was a day that we were there, and it was to blame us, I'm sure, on it. Say we planned
to
blame.
Yes.
But you know what? She confessed. They found out. Everything they found out that she had even been writing herself letters, threatening letters, and they arrested her. She was facing a prison fine and $250,000 and several years in prison, and they gave her probation and a $250 fine, and that's it.
We're trying to falsely accuse innocent people.
Well, yeah, that was a federal offense too.
Yeah,
a fake bomb. So people need to see the difference of how people are treated. How
Pro-life is our second-class citizens. I mean,
yes.
Where else in the country can you say, excuse me, can I talk to you? And that is considered impeding
right.
someone.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's. I know that they'll try anything to get you arrested, and that their whole goal is to shut you up. I know that. They want to shut all of us up, actually.
They want to shut. If they start with me, then they'll go to the next one. Yeah. And you know, we walk by faith,
yes.
not by sight. And it's yeah. Jesus who is my comfort, and he is my king, and he is the one that's leading me, and I'll follow him wherever he takes me.
That's right. And I know that you won't back down, and that's why they don't like you, Job, because you don't back down. They want someone who will back down. Well, we've just got a minute now before the break. And when we come back, I want to talk about the cost for abortion and kind of what they do with the money. I know that they have not only the cost of the abortion, but then they reclaim reclamation fees. They harvest the baby's bodies, and they have plans on what to do with that. And when we come back, I want to talk about that for just a moment. And then we will discuss, I want you to describe a typical day in the life of Joe Scott at Planned Parenthood. So we'll be back with that in just a moment, and look forward to hearing all that. Thank you, Joe.
Do you need to promote your business on the internet? The Truth in Focus Radio Network reaches listeners locally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and all across the United States. The shift is on from traditional media to internet marketing. Stay on the cutting edge with your business. Advertise with us today. Email radio at truthinfocus.org. You heard the word, so will they. Email us at radio at truthinfocus.org.
I'm sure you've heard that one of the definitions of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. But why then, since 1960, have African Americans rejected any Republican running for office and elected Democratic Party officials to run their communities? Did you know that the cities with the highest crime, teenage pregnancy and poverty rates, as well as the lowest high school graduation rates, are all run by Democratic officials, from the mayors down to the city councils? Now, I know what you're thinking. This is just some Republican trick perpetrated by some racist Republican group. No, just some free-thinking black folks who have decided that the insanity must stop. We're not telling you to vote Republican. We're just telling you to stop and think before you vote for another Democrat that promises you the same thing and gives you what you've gotten for the past 50 years. Just think about it. For more information, check out newblackthought.blogspot.com. That's newblackthought.com. .blogspot.com.
Canyon State Wireless is your hands-on source for design, sales, service, and installation of the best land mobile two-way radio systems. Check us out on the web at canyonstatewireless.com or call us for specific information at 866-458-4772. 866-458-4772. Canyon State Wireless. When you're serious about communication.
Singing glory to our God, His greatest glory upon.
Welcome back to Dividing Line. We're talking with Joe Scott from Denver, Colorado. Joe has been on the pro-life front lines for almost 30 years and has never backed down and seems to be getting even stronger. Joe, I would like for you to describe the typical day for Joe Scott, and I know that you are at Planned Parenthood every Tuesday through Saturday mornings. I'd like you to describe the setting. I want people to get kind of a visual of Planned Parenthood, the building, how it's shaped, and describe the fence that surrounds it. And those listening can get a picture of what you're dealing with, and then you can kind of go from there. Can you do that?
Sure. Planned Parenthood is on the corner of 38th and Pontiac in Stapleton. It's an area where the old airport used to be in Denver. It's actually, the Planned Parenthood facility itself is partly a building that used to be used by Stapleton Airport, and then they built two other sections onto it. And as they were building the building, they were digging deep down. I thought, oh, no, they're going to have an underground parking lot. I'll never be able to talk to these women. But that's not what they did. They built the two other additions to the building that was already standing there. They set the middle section back. I don't know how many feet because I've never been in there, but quite a ways. And then the third section forward. So what it is, it's almost like a horseshoe that I'm facing. I'm 135, 40 feet away from the front door, but it is built like an amphitheater. So when I talk, my voice bounces on the building, and so it's captured by the building itself. So all the patrons that are going in, they hear me.
That's great.
And the fence is on, you know, at the edge of the parking lot, and some of the cars park right up against the fence, so I can just look down from my ladder. The fence probably goes up 10 feet, and I have a huge ladder. It's one of those little giant ladders that you can extend. So I'm up high on top of a ladder. We call ourselves the Latter-day Saints because we're on ladders most of the time. We stand on ladders and we talk to the girls as they go in, because the most important thing that you can do when you're talking to a woman that's planning on killing her child is make eye contact with her.
Yes.
And let her see you and hear the pleadings of for her child by you. So the ladders are placed on the public sidewalk outside of Planned Parenthood on the back side of the fence. This road is almost three lanes wide. There's a stop sign at either end. There's very little traffic that goes up and down this road ever, because it's just a side street. It's not like through traffic wouldn't use that. So most of the cars that come down that street are going into Planned Parenthood. That makes it a little easier.
Yes.
And less, well, I was going to say less noisy, but there's a train that goes by, and there's planes, and there's, you know, construction work also going on a lot of the times.
Well, if people could get, just to get a visual, here's this really tall wrought iron fence with plastic sheeting covering it.
Right. And so, in front of the fence are pine trees. Those junipers, those tall juniper trees, they've planted those, and those are growing every year. So we have to place the ladders outside the fence in between the trees so that we can get up and above them and talk to the girls.
So does everybody who come, they just bring a ladder?
No, during the week, say Tuesday through Friday, there's at least two ladders, because Ken and I bring two. Occasionally, someone will bring another. There's about, today there were about five, six people there. Tomorrow, there'll be five or six people. Saturday, there can be 25 people. There are Saturdays that we have 10 ladders, 10, 12, 13 ladders.
That's quite a picture. I can see
it is. It's quite a circus.
Do you hold your signs up there, too, above the fence?
Some people do. I don't. I need to be on the ladder and be able to hand literature over. Signs are hindering, but there are signs. What we do is every car has a sign on it. We have the large 4x5 and 4x8 signs. They're put on our cars across the street. And down from the fire station that I explained earlier is a building that's been condemned, because they used to do stuff with bombs in there, so there's some contaminated stuff and batteries have leaked. So they can't sell the building, but the owners of the building are Christian. And they and there's a chain link fence that goes all the way around the building. So we can hang our big vinyl signs on it, lean signs against it, park in their parking lot. So it's really a nice location for signage.
That's wonderful. And people need to know that the graphic signs increase the babies saved by about 50%.
At least.
Yes.
Because you know, when a woman is driving down that street, she has sealed her mind. She is going to kill that baby. She's going to make her life better. She's sure of it. And then she's slapped with this visual that brings her back to reality. This is what you're doing today. And we have pretty baby signs also. And we have signs. There's one that says, come to Jesus. Repent. My burden is easy. My yoke is light. That kind of thing. We have all kinds of signs. Because it takes, you know, you don't know what someone's going to respond to. Different people respond to different things.
Right.
So we have everything that we can think about there.
And the literature you pass out to the girls is letting them know that everything that's available for them to help them, their baby.
Yeah, we have all the resources in our area that are available to them. My phone number, because some of the girls kind of fall through the cracks. They don't speak English very well. They don't read English very well. I talk to them personally, and if I have to, and if they want me to, not even if I have to, but if they want me to, I take them to all their appointments. I get them what they need. I communicate with the doctors for them, that kind of thing. Things that the crisis pregnancy centers are not able to do because it takes one person to do, you know, and it's off hours, and I'm busy with the moms. A great deal of the time.
You have to be, because I know that you even check on them with for their personal safety, and that you have had to call the police out to make sure a woman is okay who's in an abusive situation.
That's right. I couldn't find her, and I had the police find her because she was being abused.
How much time would you say you put in a week doing this?
I've never thought about that. In the pro-life movement, it's my life. When I get home, I work on... Sometimes I'm writing articles, sometimes I'm doing radio shows, sometimes I'm running to help one family or the other. I mean, at least from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night, I'm on the run. And then during the evening, my husband and I are working on different things.
Yes. So that's called a total commitment. And I just want to thank you personally for what you do, because I know that it's all-consuming and you've given your all. And you've literally laid down your life, and I appreciate that. Really do.
Thank you.
Okay, something happened. I guess it was yesterday at the clinic.
Yeah.
You wrote that a circus erupts. Can you tell us what happened?
Yeah, a circus did erupt at Planned Parenthood. One of the security guards at Planned Parenthood is a retired police. Well, there were all the security guards are retired police officers, and they get paid very well to be there while we're there. And Planned Parenthood does not want any of our literature in their building. So one of the security guards is particularly aggressive at taking the literature that we give to people going in away from the people before they go into the building. And most of the people driving in are intimidated by him, and they'll either give him our literature or they won't take it in. They'll leave it in the car, whatever. But yesterday, a young man was going in, he said, for birth control. I talked to him, and he had, when he got out of his car, he had the literature in his hand. I said, put that in your pocket. I saw the security guard coming at him, and I said, he's going to take it away from you. He said, he's not taking it away from me. I said, he's going to try. And so the security guard tried to take the literature away from him and then told him, you can't go in the building with the literature, and the guy just went in anyway. And the security guard ran in after him. Then the young man runs out, and he said, he's calling the police on me. And I said, I told you that's what he's going to do. He's going to call the police on you. He said, he can't take the stuff out of my pocket. So the man was really aggravated that this place would not allow him to walk in with his personal belongings. Now, but Ron Pringle is the security guard. He called the police, and six squad cars show up.
Wow.
Six squad cars. They surround the guy because he has literature in his pocket. It's almost impossible to believe. Yes. It's a circus erupts. My husband's preaching to the cops. The other guys are talking to the guy in the car. And while all this is going on, two young women walk out of Planned Parenthood and they want to talk about what kind of help we have.
Wow.
And because all of that is going on, the security guard would normally come over and say, you need to go inside or get out, scare them that they won't be able to get what they want and intimidate them into Planned Parenthood before they have a chance to talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
And this, yesterday it didn't happen because he was so busy with the police trying to get this poor soul arrested for putting literature in his pocket that we had time to talk to these two young women. And they were, the woman getting the abortion spoke only Spanish, but her friends spoke English and Spanish, and she did the interpreting for me.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to convince her that there is help, and we were able to get her to the Crisis Pregnancy Center close by that is Christ-centered and wonderful people run it, Riverside Baptist Crisis mm-hmm. Pregnancy Center. And she decided to keep her baby.
Wonderful.
Once she tells us that, a mom tells us that she's going to keep her baby, our church makes blankets, these wonderful fleece blankets
mm-hmm.
For the mom. So we gave her a baby blanket. And then Restoration Fellowship in Longmont donates to me every year silver dollars to give to the moms
hmm.
when they keep their baby.
That's great.
So I was able to tell her, I handed her the silver dollars in a case, and it's nice and new and shiny. It's never been touched, so it won't tarnish. And I tell her, this is made of precious metal and it's valuable. And we're giving it to you because you and your baby are precious and valuable to the Lord and to us. When your baby gets old enough to understand, you tell him that we gave this to him. This
yes.
was given to him by Jesus because he loved him so much before he was even born. And then at that point, the ladies just started crying and mm-hmm. hugging, and it was wonderful. Mm-hmm. And we sent them to the Crisis Pregnancy Center, and the baby was saved. Mm-hmm. And then after all the commotion, Planned Parenthood decided not to press charges on the young man who walked in the building. And so he was released. But what a circus. And this is normal for us
mm-hmm,
in Denver.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
you
yes,
know, these police officers are at the beck and call of Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
To call 911 because someone has literature in his pocket, that's a waste of taxpayers' dollars.
Yes, it is.
At the very
yes, it
least,
is.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I assume that this young man's going to be an advocate for you after experiencing this, because that just is unreal. That would
well,
happen.
We wanted him to, we would like him to sue, you know?
Yes.
One of the things that Planned Parenthood says all the time is that they're a private business.
Mm.
But Planned Parenthood gets $363 million a year
yeah.
from
yeah.
our tax dollars. That's right. Nationwide, but it's still like you're hitting the lottery every day, $1 million a day.
Right.
That
right.
means they're federally funded, so I don't know that if it was tested that they would be considered private.
Oh, that would be great. Do you have contact with him?
No, he was really kind of a rough and tumble guy. He just
uh-huh.
was not going to let anybody push him around, but he's not somebody that would
yeah.
want to pursue this.
Yeah.
So.
Well, God works in mysterious ways. The baby was saved while the circus was going on. That's great.
Yes.
That is
yes.
great. Well,
wonderful.
I know that the first trimester abortions cost around $475. But
right.
after that, there's a reclamation fee. Can you talk about that, how they harvest the baby's bodies and organs?
Right. Several years ago, I was a witness, or I testified at a Senate committee hearing here in Planned Parenthood, and there's a Dr. Kurt, here in Denver, and a Dr. Kurt Freed, who works at CU Medical Center, testified that he has a full-time harvester at Planned Parenthood.
Wow.
Because he uses the baby parts to experiment to end diabetes, is what he says, and Parkinson's and things like that. So we know there's a harvester there. We see mm-hmm. the truck come and pick up the parts and take them.
Mm.
So the reclamation fee can be like for a brain, an 8-week-old brain that's not dismembered. The price list that we have says they get about $1,000, $999 for that.
Wow.
Now, it's illegal to sell human tissue, but it's not illegal to charge for for the a reclamation fee for the teeth, the tissue. Wow. And that's how they get around selling human tissue. So that's what's going on in Denver, and then this horrible, horrible new development that we've just learned about is a company named Sinomix, which also buys the aborted baby parts. And what that company does, and I don't know what they're paying for the baby parts. I don't have any information on that. But I do know that they're taking the aborted baby's kidneys, manipulating the kidney cells so that they are able to determine between a positive and negative taste. So companies like Pepsi test their new products on the aborted baby's kidney cells to see if people will like them or dislike them.
Wow.
It's horrific.
Yes.
It's so upsetting because it's cannibalizing these children, and it's making all of us a part of it. I drank Pepsi until I found this out. I'm not going to ever have another can of Pepsi.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's, and we can't get it in the regular media. Imagine a woman, if it came on TV in a commercial that this is happening, imagine a woman that's sitting at home drinking a Pepsi that's had an abortion and watches a commercial and finds out that they're using aborted baby parts to test this.
Wow.
What do you think is going to go through her mind?
Oh, my
Could it
goodness.
Have been my baby?
Right, right.
You know, it's, it's just horrifying that they would do such a thing.
Wow. And, but they're not the only company, right?
No, there's Nestle's and Campbell Soup was doing that, but they have since severed their relationship with Sinomix, Campbell Soup, Kraft Foods.
Wow.
They are not severing their relationship. Soleil is not severing their relationship. And these are just a few of what we know. And it's frightening because this is what we know is happening with these babies. The money that is being made off of these children in major corporations is phenomenal, and nobody knows about it. And it's going to be even harder to stop abortion because those children dead are more valuable than they are alive.
Yes. Well, what is so sad, our public demand for foods without MSG and lower sugar, lower salt.
And that's what they say they're doing, is making foods that have less sugar and salt in them.
So they'll come back to us and say, well, this is what you asked for. You know?
No, we didn't ask you to cannibalize a child.
No,
because this is wrong.
They don't have to use parts of babies. I mean, can't they use other types of cells? Like,
oh, yes, they can use rats. They can even use insect cells. But they're buying the aborted babies. Maybe because the parts are ready-made and there, and they don't have to work at getting them. It might be the cheapest way for them to do these testings, but it's the most horrific way.
Yes. Well, people say we're not using embryonic cells in our products. We're only testing flavors with them. So that's how they justify. And
that doesn't justify anything.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, they're not in our products. At least so far we haven't found that out.
Right.
But what else are you doing? If you're willing to go as far as to take a child's organs and use them to test food products, what else are you willing to do? We don't know. This is all we've been able to find out so far.
Right. And
so it's pretty horrifying when you think about it. But
yes,
you think you've heard it all. You think nothing else can happen that's going to be as horrific as what we've already seen. And, and every time you think that, something else happens.
Right. It does. Well, have you heard about the campaign to stop Stericycle? This is the company that
disposes of Repent America and Mike Markavich.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, we've been working with him. We have Stericycle company that shows up at Planned Parenthood, and that company picks up the biohazardous wastes, and that would be some of the body parts and the bloody tissue, you know, the bloody material that they use. But in Denver, there's a company called Rocky Mountain Identification protection company. It's something like that. And they're the ones that are picking up the actual parts that are being sold.
Oh, wow. So there's two different groups picking it up. They pick up the parts and use, and the Stericycle's picking up the waste products.
Right. I sent Mike Markavich, who is the head of Repent America, yesterday, mm-hmm. the film of the man picking up the parts last week. So he's going to look into it.
Oh, good, good. Well, I know that they're, I believe OSA is trying to get people organized to go up to Rosemont, Illinois, and confront this company and the CEO.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone's right. interested, that's in May, this May, the 23rd through the 25th. And, you know, it's been proven that because people have taken a stand, we're out, you know, out of our four walls, speaking out, things are starting to happen a little bit. I mean, you're starting to see the people really wake up to Planned Parenthood and address those issues. So we need to let our presence be known. We need to go to these places. We need to speak out and try to make a difference.
Right. It's important that they see outrage.
Yes.
It's important because now our economy in this country is not stable. And everyone is looking to keep their company viable and healthy. And any kind of controversy may knock them out of the competition in the market.
Yes, yes.
So it's true. Very important and very effective right now because people are not as bold and as haughty as they were in the past when mm-hmm. the economy was stable.
Yes.
So, and we saw that happen over now over here in Colorado when Planned Parenthood was trying to build their facility. We got many contractors and subcontractors to quit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
wonderful. We even got workers because we'd be out there while they were building it. We'd go to the old building for Planned Parenthood in Denver at 20th and Vine. We'd finish there, and we'd go up to where the workers were mm-hmm. building the new Planned Parenthood, and we'd tell them what they were building, and they'd just drop their tools and leave.
Oh, that is great.
Well, it works. It really
does. It does. I agree. Well, they always talk about we want to keep abortion legalized because it's more safety for women. But we know that abortion is not safe for women. And
right.
you don't go to the abortion industry to get the truth on the damage from abortion. You have to find that out from other sources. And, you know, in 1973, abortion was sold as safety for women. But we know just in breast cancer alone that the increase has been staggering. Actually, I say 50% of those experience a first abortion, their first child is aborted, may experience mm-hmm. breast cancer.
That's right.
And
you know, Ruth, the abortion industry isn't telling the truth about the link between abortion and breast cancer, and it's also not telling the truth about the link between oral contraceptives and breast cancer. And what Planned Parenthood does is abort these young women, leaving them at a much higher risk for breast cancer, and then convincing them to take these oral contraceptives that are filled with steroids, the same steroids that athletes take and that are illegal for them to take to build their muscles.
Uh-huh.
Those steroids are in the birth control pill, but they're anabolic to the breast instead of the muscles.
Mm-hmm.
But it has the same effect. So if you've had an abortion and then you get on a steroidal oral contraceptive,
mm-hmm.
it's a Molotov cocktail for breast cancer, and they're not being told.
No.
And one of
no.
the things that we do every year is we go to the Coleman Race for the Cure here
mm-hmm.
in Denver. There's about 60,000 participants, if you can believe it.
Wow.
And we have a huge banner. They start the race at the bottom of a hill
mm-hmm.
on Spear, which is a huge, it's got three lanes going in each direction.
Uh-huh.
And a big medium in the middle where there's bands playing while all these people come up this hill. We have a huge banner that says the most avoidable cause of breast cancer is abortion.
Hmm.
And the people are furious.
Wow.
They're furious that
yes.
we would go there and ruin their celebration.
Yes.
But one of the things over all these years that we've noticed is the women who wear the pink shirts that say, I survived abortion.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I survived breast cancer.
Breast cancer, uh-huh.
the age of those women is getting younger and younger every year.
Yeah.
And that's because of the devastation of abortion.
Yes. Yes, it really is. So,
well, we had a meeting here with them, Coleman, and we discussed breast physiology with them, and the representatives that they sent to talk to us had no idea. They didn't know the first thing about breast physiology.
But
it was shocking.
They can't do anything now because they bring in so many millions of dollars. That's a big source of money to them, so they're not going to tell us the truth.
Oh, no. They're not going to tell us the truth. And Coleman is tied to Planned Parenthood. Nancy Brinker, who is the sister of Susan G. Coleman that died of breast cancer, was on the board of Planned Parenthood.
Yeah. Wow.
It's all tied together. Planned Parenthood received between 2003 and 2008, they received $3 million from the Coleman Association for breast exams that they don't do.
Yeah,
Planned Parenthood does not do mammograms, and we have Cecile Richards, the CEO of Planned Parenthood, on the Joyce Behar show telling the world that they do mammograms, and there isn't a Planned Parenthood in the country that doesn't.
That's right. I know. Well, we know that induced abortions also lead to premature birth in the following pregnancies.
Yes, they do.
And the one thing, I mean, that you never hear is the reproductive tract infections that a girl can get during an abortion that she may not even know about till her next pregnancy. And then when those infections, they'll have a premature birth. And then we're seeing the cost from premature babies and with cerebral palsy and autism and so many other medical problems. It all goes back to abortion.
Yes, we are. And you're right about the cost. I mean, Planned Parenthood thinks they're protecting the country from all these children who will cost us so much. Yeah. But really, the medical costs of the women that have abortions are 3 to 5 times higher than any other woman in the country.
Yes. Wow.
Because of the complications, even psychological complications.
Well, Joe, we just have about 2 minutes left. I want to talk to you real quick about, people think that abortion is a political issue, but we know it's actually a moral issue, and that the Bible tells us that thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder, and we've continued to do it. But I know several states have been working on personhood, and I believe you're familiar with Jackson, Wyoming. You know, there's only one abortion clinic left there, and they're going to be, several pro-lifers are going to be up there in early May, or middle of May, I believe.
I'll be there, yes.
Oh, you will. I want to be there so badly. I don't know if we're going to make it.
I hope you can come.
I do, too. Yeah. Well, we need to keep personhood up. Oklahoma's working on it right now. We're so thrilled that...
there are 20 states working on one phase or another of personhood.
That is so wonderful.
Fabulous.
Yes.
And, of course, Planned Parenthood is going to fight every inch of the way, and politicians will fight also.
Yes, they will.
You know, one of the things that pro-lifers don't understand is we look to Republicans for help, or we should be looking to God. But if the Republicans worked with us to end abortion, we could probably get more done than what we're doing now, but they won't, because after abortion is over, what does the Republican Party have to offer Christians?
Right.
Nothing.
Right. Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
They are pro-homosexual, pro-redistributing the wealth, pro-everything that God hates.
Yes.
So that's how they keep us stringing along. Oh, we'll help you, we'll help you. 40 years, we believe that song and dance.
Right.
It's about time we stand on God's word.
Yes, that is so true. Well, Joe, we have to go. There's a saying that goes, I'm just one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. And by the grace of God, I will do what I can to make a difference. Joe, thank you. This has been Dividing Line with Ruth Dar, Truth in Focus, Internet Radio.